I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Jeff Kaplan's Afternoon News on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
It's 6:30 at KSL. Jeff Kaplan here. Mostly cloudy, 34 in Salt Lake City. KSL's top story. The FBI is closing its probe into the death of Gabby Petito. KSL News Radio's Becky Bruce reports her fiancé, Brian Laundrie, admitted he killed her before he died.
According to the FBI, Brian Laundrie, the fiancé of Gabby Petito, claimed responsibility for her death in a notebook found with his remains. If you recall, Petito and Laundrie documented their van lifer cross-country trip on social media, which included a stop in Moab. While there, a passerby called police concerned because they saw Laundrie strike Petito. She disappeared, her body found near Grand Teton National Park in September. Becky Bruce, KSL News Radio.
Investigators found Laundrie's remains about a month after Petito's death. In closing the case, the FBI also says they confirmed that Laundrie used Petito's debit card on his way from Wyoming to Florida, and they confirm he used her phone to send messages to himself after her death in what appears to have been an effort to deceive authorities. Meantime, investigators say there's no connection between Laundrie, Petito, and last summer's double homicide in Grand County. KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson reports speculation is getting in the way of furthering that double murder case.
Sean Paul Schulte, the father of Kylan Schulte, says he doesn't see how some online speculation is hurting the investigation. He says they're still trying to drum up any clues they can in the murder of his daughter and her wife, Crystal Turner. But he does agree theories about Gabby Petito and Brian Laundrie being involved are a waste of time and energy.
Investigators say they have a persons of interest in the case, persons of interest, but they haven't yet pinpointed a suspect. KSL News Time 6:32. We have the latest on the shooting near Hunter High last week that left two students dead, another severely injured. Police say the gun was bought in Utah in 2013, but they still don't know how that gun got into the hands of the 14-year-old suspect. Police also say the injured teen, Ephraim Asiata, is still hospitalized. His condition is improving. They say all the victims and the prime suspect, turns out, did attend Hunter High School. The January 6th committee now has its hands on White House records. Maria Chaleos is live at the KSL National News Desk.
Jeff, the National Archives handing over the documents to congressional investigators who are now sifting through them. That after the Supreme Court ruled former President Trump couldn't use a claim of executive privilege to keep them secret. The files include records from several White House advisors, plus entries from the White House Daily Diary, which records the president's movements and meetings. The White House is responding to the Senate Minority Leader's call for the U.S. to send more forces to boost the most vulnerable sector of NATO's eastern flank. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says talks are underway to ensure the alliance's needs are met.
We work in close coordination with our NATO partners and allies and respond to what their needs are. We've been very clear, and the president's been clear, that we will support whatever their needs are should they have security needs.
She says the president will meet with his national security team this weekend to discuss the situation. That after diplomatic talks with Russia failed to get that country to remove its forces from its border with Ukraine. And this is what it sounded like on the streets of the nation's capital today. Thousands of anti-abortion advocates were there for the annual March for Life rally happening in Washington, D.C. The rally is traditionally held on the anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision legalizing abortion. Live from the KSL National News Desk, I'm Maria Shalmaos, KSL News Radio.
People who've received a booster shot are less likely to be hospitalized from Omicron. KSL News Radio's Jacob Rueda has details on a new study.
Results from a study that Intermountain Healthcare participated in showed booster shots reduced the chance of hospitalization more than just having the initial two shots of the COVID vaccine. Dr. Eddie Stenium from Intermountain Healthcare elaborated on the results during a Zoom call.
What we saw is that a two-dose vaccine series given 6 months prior had a 50% vaccine effectiveness in preventing hospitalizations, which went up to 90% if you were boosted.
Despite these results, Stenium says that boosters do wane in time, but there is no telling just how long it takes for boosters to wane. Stenium still recommends getting vaccinated against Omicron, saying that it greatly reduces the effect of the disease. Jacob Reda, KSL News Radio.
People in Salt Lake and Summit counties won't have to mask up anymore. The House passed a resolution today ending the county mask mandates. Governor Cox was asked about today's vote. He said there's a difference between mask wearing and mask mandates.
There's a question about whether masks work, and then there's a question about whether mask mandates work. And I want to say specifically with Omicron, again, because Omicron is very different. We keep having these alpha fights in an Omicron world. There is no evidence that mask mandates are making a difference anywhere in the United States. In fact, there's actually lots of evidence that mask mandates are not making any difference.
Cox also clarified on KSL News Radio's Let Me Speak to the Governor this afternoon that Utah's Constitution says state buildings were exempt from the initial mask mandate, and he points out that he did not create his own mandate. KSL News Time 6:35, Ricky Meese is here. We're watching traffic and not so bad now, I hope.
Well, I'm afraid we've got a couple of more problems.
I say that.
You do this every night.
I'm horrible. I'm sorry, everybody.
Jinxing things.
I'm so sorry.
It's all right. I'm just giving you a hard time. We have a new accident in Utah County, northbound I-15 at Pioneer Crossing. Then another crash in Summit County, and once again, it's on SR-224. This time, it's on the southbound side at Ute Boulevard. It's partially in that intersection and blocking a right lane of traffic. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.